Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of Overcoming Your Emotional Eating, and Happy New Year. Here we are in 2022. Lots of new things, hopefully beautiful things coming your way and my way. I will have lots of new things in store this year to help with resources to continue to help you all overcome your emotional eating. And to help in various aspects of new direction, new dimension with eating and food relationships. So please be on the lookout. In today's episode, I'm actually talking about hitting rock bottom. And what's the beauty of hitting rock bottom? Well, the beauty of it is that we can gracefully bounce back up if we choose to. And it's in that grace and that beauty that we can find our true essence. And I know when we hit the bottom, it's awful hard to think about bouncing back up. But that's what I talk about in today's episode. I know for myself personally and even professionally, I have hit rock bottom many a time and have had to learn to move through that and bounce, as I'm sure you have as well. So take a listen and see what you can glean from this podcast episode, and keep a lookout on www.wendyfrancis.com. I've got a lot of great things in store this year. So keep a lookout. Thanks so much for listening. All right. So thank you so very much for joining me. And as I mentioned, you know, this week and next week I find to be so, immensely introspective. And I know that sounds maybe intense, but the truth is I find that these 2 weeks, well, last week and this week are weeks that many people are visiting, maybe with family or friends, taking some time off of work, some people vacation, some people are really kind of reevaluating where they are in their world, especially after the holidays. For many people, there's a dip in emotionality. And whether or not that goes with what we know to be circadian rhythm, we know that there's a solstice that occurred December 21st, shortest day of the year. Not many people pay much attention to the solstice, winter solstice or summer solstice, but I actually happen to be really close with some people that do pay attention to winter solstice, a beautiful community that's located outside of Charlottesville, Virginia, in the mountains of Virginia. And I consider them my sisters, my family. And they every year do what they call a spiral that signifies winter solstice. And it's something that's been done for hundreds of years. They just kind of carry out the tradition. And what it signifies as you begin the spiral, it signifies the beginning of solstice and the internal production or thought pattern of kind of going inward. In what we know to be winter solstice is about going inward, reflecting, thinking about who we are, where we've come, what we're struggling with, what we want to overcome. And it's a beautiful symbol of moving inward, and you walk with a candle, you move through this beautiful spiral that's handmade. Not many communities do this anymore. It's a really special community. Handmade logs, hand-done candles. You walk with your candle throughout the entire spiral until you get to the end. And then you say your intention for winter solstice when you get to the middle of the spiral. And then you proceed to move outward and you put your candle on a log that's empty and is signifying your spot in that spiral. And you allow those candles to burn as long as they will until either nature takes it away by rain or breeze, because we hold solstice outside as much as possible. And then the reality is many people go home after that and think about what they want for the new year. That actually begins winter in winter solstice. I know many people now in culture really look at New Year's as that time period when we kind of cut and begin to look at, you know, what are we going to do with the next year? But in other traditions, it's that winter solstice where we go inward and we start to reflect on what we want for the next time period, for that winter solstice time period until we move into spring. And so in wondering that, you know, many people during this time period are really feeling like they're hitting rock bottom. And essentially this call was supposed to be about hitting rock bottom. And I do find for some people during this time of year, it's very difficult to maintain your eating pattern. It's very difficult to eat, you know, once Christmas Eve hits throughout this week until we get till after New Year's, many people struggle with eating specific foods, eating fruits and vegetables, eating good healthy fats, because there's so many different things around us, whether we made them for Christmas Eve or we made them for Christmas Day, we celebrate another tradition. And there, in most traditions, the foods that tend to be put out that are in ritual, so to speak, for us, are not necessarily the spinach salads, right? They are much more so things like, you know, breads and cakes and pastas, challah bread. I mean, the list can go on and on. And then we look at pies and cakes and candies and, you know, pastas and things of that nature, depending on, you know, what ethnicity you are. And all of those things provide a difficult time period for many people who are trying to eat a specific way. Even for myself, I recognize how much more is around me, and I look through the lens of clients and I recognize, wow, this has to be so hard and so different, because at other times of the year, we're not inundated with so many things kind of coming in our direction. Right. And so many different ways, whether family's coming into town the day after Christmas and they're bringing in, you know, kind of a whole swarm of, you know, certain foods, or people were coming in before Christmas, or you have people coming in, or you're going places for this week where foods are different. There's so much that happens. And essentially, my experience, I've seen people really hit bottom because they just throw the towel in. And they forget that it's really time to be able to recalibrate during this weekend and figure out what is really important to you. And it's difficult to do that in a sea of food. I mean, not seafood, but in a sea of food. Literally, there's food everywhere, and so food means so much this time of year to so many people. And I've had so many calls and reach outs in my private practice this week and last week were essentially the highlight of my practice, because it was so difficult for my clients to get through these few weeks with the amount of food that's around and the amount of family and the emotionality. And there is much more emotion this time of year, both great joyful emotion, and then there can be the converse, right? There can be the depression, there can be the low-lying emotions, and that can sweep people away too. And then food gets wrapped up in all of that. And then that's when people falter and they feel like they fail. My professional opinion is that there is no failure. There's only moving forward if you learn from it. Again, there is no failure. There's only moving forward if you learn from it. I absolutely feel like if we learn from a mistake, it's not really a mistake. Mistakes only happen when we just do something and don't learn a thing from it, and we keep doing that same thing. But if you really learn from your mistake and you don't repeat it, it's actually moving forward. I was just listening to a YouTube video, and I can't remember who it was by, so I'll try and quote them if I can remember. But they were saying they just turned 50. It was Matthew McConaughey, and he was talking about he just turned 50, and how he was talking to his kind of younger self in his mind, saying that the one thing he wants for himself now at the age of 50 that he wouldn't have said to himself in his younger years was that he wants to fail more than ever. That he actually relishes in the failure because he actually knows that through that failure you will find that breakthrough and you'll move forward from it if you learn from it. And I love that thought pattern, right? Because we don't think like that, especially if we're off track with our food, if we're off track with our eating or our exercise routine, or our vitamins or our supplements. Like, we don't think like that. We don't think, okay, so I didn't do it this day, didn't do it the way I wanted to this day, or I didn't do it the way I wanted to this meal. How do I move forward next meal? How do I do it different? How do I learn from it? What threw me off track? What was put in front of me that I couldn't resist? You know, for me, I made these cookies that I've made the last couple years because my daughter loves them. And the truth is she eats one and she doesn't eat anymore, and I wind up eating the rest of the batch over the course of the next couple days. And I've recognized that, and I still make them because she doesn't like a whole lot of different sweets, but she loves these cookies, and they're really not that special, honestly. They're not hard to make, I should say. They're special to her because she likes them. They're not hard to make. And I know essentially that she's going to eat one or two, my son's going to eat one or two, and I'm going to eat the rest of the batch. And so this year I just said, that's kind of how it's going to go. And that's okay, because I'm going to be okay and I'm going to moderate that. And just recognizing that allowed me to be released from that, right? Because when we look at freedom, when we look at the feeling of freedom, it's all about releasing, right? So we could stay handcuffed to the cookie, right? And I could keep saying, oh, I'm just going to save it, you know, for her. But she just doesn't eat any more than that. I could say, like, don't eat them. I shouldn't have them. I shouldn't do this. And they're not good for me. And they're not da 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 da. I could do that. Or I could just release it and say they're there. And I love them. And I don't eat them that often. And I'm going to eat what I want to eat, and then I'm going to stop when I feel full so that I'm not handcuffed to the cookies. And in that, then, I release the responsibility of really having to hold tight and fear that. And so many people get afraid of foods, and I get it. I really do, especially if you've had instances with foods in the past. I remember in high school, and some people will look at me and not really recognize that I've maybe had my own stuff with food, but the truth is, I don't know if you can be a female in today's society and not have something with food, unfortunately. And I remember in high school, I used to eat peanut butter out of the jar with a chocolate bar. So I'd take off a little piece of Hershey's and dip it in the peanut butter. And I'd eat it. And I couldn't stop. I would eat one little chocolate bar with the peanut butter, and then I would eat the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And when I was in high school, I didn't really recognize the shame that I felt around that, or what I did to try to moderate that. I mean, I was an athlete in high school, so my body naturally took to running and hitting balls and doing all of that stuff. And so my weight didn't moderate too much, although senior year I did gain a lot of weight. Anybody that knows me from high school that's listening to this podcast, my senior year I got a little bit overweight, my thing, because I was eating a lot. In any case, so I get what it's like to not be able to stop. And I get the shame that comes from that. I really do. And I recognize more now that I'm in my elder years, not quite older, right? But and the amount of work that I've done with clients over the years and the amount of work I've done on myself, that the more you release the handcuffs to the food, the more freedom you feel. And you don't really have to hit the rock bottom because you just bounce. Right? Like Tigger in Winnie the Pooh, he just bounces everywhere. And in that, it's beautiful because he just releases all the time, right? Which is part of the genre of Tigger in Winnie the Pooh. And if you look at the symbolism behind Winnie the Pooh and the beauty of that, that's part of Tigger. Some people would say that he has another diagnosis or psychosis, but I love the part about him where he's just constantly bouncing. And if we did that, we just fell into a trampoline and bounced right back up, and we let go of a mistake in recognizing that we're going to fail forward, the reality is then we don't have to hit rock bottom hard. We just bounce softly, and we pop right back up. And we get up the next day, the next meal, the next snack, the next whatever, and we still feel free. And we still enable ourselves to move forward. So rather than making all these resolutions about what we're going to do in 2022, what if we just became resolute in bouncing, resolute in failing forward, resolute in learning from our mistakes without shame? Instead of making the New Year's resolutions, instead of hitting rock bottom and trying to slam ourselves into 2022, what if we just gently bounced? What if we let the freedom find us instead of us trying to push and struggle to find the freedom? What if everything around us just wanted us to be released from the handcuffs to our food? And in that, then, we failed forward and found our freedom. That's my wish and hope for all of you as you move into 2022. So next time I'm on a call live, it will be after January 1st, 2022. So something for you to think about as you move through this week of internal awareness and what you're thinking about yourself and your life and who you are and what you want to be and where you want to go. What if you just became resolute to bouncing gently into the new year and allowing yourself to fail forward?
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.